Have you ever thought about long-term care? MKN Financial Group provides long-term care planning and insurance that can be custom designed to cover expenses as you grow older. Long-term care can take place in the comfort of your own home, in adult daycare centers, and at assisted living or skilled facilities. With so many options to choose, Marcy Nunn can help you design a plan that is tailored for you. Call her today at 805-644-3535. That's 805-644-3535. The word mindfulness is everywhere today, and for good reason. In our frantic 24/7 world, managing stress is a necessity, and mindfulness helps you be both highly effective and at ease all day long. Audrey Walzer has given hundreds of people in the 805 science-based mindfulness tools to downregulate the stress response through her Learn Mindfulness Meditation courses. Register now for September classes in Westlake or in Camarillo and learn to stress less. Visit the mindfulness page at learnmindfulmeditationwithaudrey.com. That's learnmindfulmeditationwithaudrey.com.
Brighter Side of Recovery, sponsored by Sober Recovery Center. Finally, a radio show that not only tackles the brighter side of addiction, recovery, mental health, and anything in life that you are recovering from, but also a show with the answers for family, friends, and those who love an addict. Hosted by award-winning radio show host and motivational leader Kim Pagano, Sherry Gaba, a psychotherapist and certified recovery coach, and Jennifer Chastain, an advocate for the community. Tune in for the brighter side of recovery on the Kim Pagano Show from 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. They bring you the experts, authors, and professionals that speak to the issues that are important to you, the listener. Give them the questions, and they will bring you the solutions to whatever you are recovering from. And now, here's Ventura County's favorite radio show host, it's Kim Pagano.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to The Brighter Side of Recovery, sponsored by Sober Recovery Center. This is Jennifer Chastain, and I'm here for Kim Pagano today, and I'm here with Sherry Gaba. How are you, Sherry?
I'm fantastic now. I almost thought you were Kim with that blonde hair.
Oh, thank you. And Tom, how are you doing this afternoon?
Doing great, and looking forward to another show. Excellent topics coming up.
You like that song, don't you? I saw you dancing, Tom.
Yes, I do. I
have a good beat.
I'm a chair dancer, though. Once I stand up, I'm useless, but I
chair
dance. Well,
I love that.
I've actually seen you do ballet, Tom. So
yes, that's
true.
That's one of my many skills.
Yes. Well, we were here to bring you the brighter side of the 805 and want everyone to always remember to listen, learn, and laugh. And we have a great show for you today. We have Rosemary O'Connor, an author, a book, A Sober Mom's Guide to Recovery. And also joining us is Sage Gallen, a painter, photographer, and a spoken word artist. But before we get started, we want to tell everyone about all of our giveaways and what's going on here in the 805. Tom, do you want to do that for us?
Oh, we have some great restaurants to start off with. Rubio's Fresh Mexican Grill, along with the Veggie Grill, Tiki's Barbecue Pit, Pete's Breakfast House. We have the Urbane Cafe, Paul Martin's Lure Fish House, BJ's Restaurant, Famous Dave's Barbecue, the Lazy Dog Cafe, Midtown Cafe, and finally a favorite for the family and the kids' meal at The Habit. Laugh Out Loud Comedy is happening with Jason Love, Jim Short, and Dale Jones. That's October 7th at the Westlake Village Twin in Westlake Village. October 10th, 11th, and 12th, you have the Ojai Studio Artist Tour, and that's the 32nd annual self-guided tour. It's a whole lot of fun. You'll see some great artwork in Ojai. October 10th and 11th, Caneo Valley Home and Remodeling RV Show. You'll see all of that at the Hyatt Westlake Plaza. October 28th, Fork It Over, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. That's at the Palm Garden Hotel. And finally, two big concerts. Thousand Oaks Civic Arts Plaza presents Wynonna Judd and the Big Noise Christmas. And then a comedy concert. Craig Ferguson is going to be in Thousand Oaks.
So much fun and so many great things to look forward to. Before we get started, I wanted to remind everybody that if you missed our show this morning at 6 to 8 a.m., you can always go to our podcast and download the Kim Pagano Show. They're also available on our website so you don't miss anything. And don't forget to Instagram the Kim Pagano Show with all of your pictures. And most importantly, make sure you've registered for our newsletter that goes out every week. We tell you what's going on in the community, different ways to win the prizes that we're giving away. And you can also learn a little bit about me, Jennifer, and Kim Pagano, as we do a blog on there as well. So you don't want to miss that. And we love to hear from all of our listeners. So before we get started, I just wanted to give some words of encouragement out there to all of our listeners. Hardships often prepare ordinary people for an extraordinary destiny. So take that with you through the week, and it'll possibly help you get through some hard times. So with that, Tom, we'd love to start talking to our first guest, if she's available.
We'll have them coming up right after our first break.
Do you know someone suffering from addiction? Call 866-547-6451 or visit us on the web at SoberMalibu.com today. Sober Recovery Center is the only Joint Commission accredited addiction treatment center in Malibu. At the Sober Recovery Center, we treat the underlying psychological disorders and the symptoms of addiction. We live by the creed that one size does not fit all. The bottom line is we provide treatment that works for you or your loved one. Call 866-547-6451 or visit SoberMalibu.com for immediate help for any drug or alcohol problem. Our expert team is committed to helping develop a customized program to ensure your recovery experience is life-changing. The SRC program is the only affordable program to offer such a high quality of care with so many therapies from renowned therapists. Our therapists and doctors will assist you by providing the necessary tools to manage your life and address the issues that have plagued you. Counselors are ready to help you and your loved ones 24 hours a day. That's 866-547-6451 or visit SoberMalibu.com today. Help is just a call away at 866-547-6451.
Biodental Healing is not your ordinary dental office. We believe in a different approach to dentistry. Holistic dentistry. Holistic dentistry aims to help you enhance the overall health of your mind, body, and spirit through the power of alternative dental care. Experience our VIP touch, including removal of dangerous mercury fillings with extreme safe, protective protocols. We even match your body with the ideal filling materials personalized for you. Located just off the 101 in Newberry Park. Schedule an appointment today with Dr. David Villarreal. Call 805-375-2233. That's 805-375-2233.
Now, back to the Kim Pagano Show. Finally, on KVTA.
Welcome back, everybody, and we're glad to have you here today. We'd love to introduce you to our first guest, Rosemary O'Connor, the author of A Sober Mom's Guide to Recovery. How are you doing, Rosemary?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
We're so glad to have you. Before we get started, why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and how you got through this journey to write this book?
Well, let's see. I was going through a divorce, and I had 2, 5, and 8-year-olds. I had to go back to work, and bottom line is I didn't come home to my kids one night. And that was the bottom for me, a long series of bottoms. And almost 16 years ago, I decided to get sober. And throughout the years of my sobriety, one of the tools I learned was to journal. And long story short, that I was journaling on all these different topics. And I guess I was really writing the book that I wish I had when I was newly sober, because it's just... a lot of my own journey of struggles and how I got through them, as well as some of the clients that I coach.
Hi, Rosemary. This is Sherry Gaba, one of the co-hosts.
Yeah, hi, Sherry.
Hi. You know, we know that with addiction, and since you're a sober coach or recovery coach, you probably understand that the brain is wired a little bit differently. You know, sometimes when you're in recovery or you're someone getting sober, you sometimes lack some of those coping skills. You have to kind of work on those things. It's in other words, it's not just the drugs or alcohol. It's some of the personality, the isms, as we say it. So how would you describe the difference between a sober mom and a non-sober mom?
Well, you know, again, like you said, Sherry, it goes back to the brain and how we think. A typical I guess I would call it alcoholic addict brain, is normally telling us, unless you've done a lot of the like lower inner child work, is that we're not good enough. Everybody's better than us. We're not doing things right. Mm-hmm. We need to be perfect. And, well, you know, I would say maybe the, quote, normal moms have some of that. I just think it goes a lot deeper. And a lot of the times our behavior is manifested in those, what I call the lies.
I was just going to say, Rosemary, I think all new moms experience that. Am I doing this right? Am I doing that right? I bet this, my friend is a better mom in this area, and I bet this person's a better mom in that area. And somebody told me once that babies don't know there's better service down the street. And I think that's so powerful. But I could only imagine if on top of being a new mom, you're also having to deal with your own feelings of not being good enough.
And also with moms that are sober, they sometimes come from a history of alcoholism. So they weren't modeled what, you know, supposedly appropriate mothering is, so to speak. Not that there is one way to mother, but sometimes when you have unavailable parents due to their own
absolutely.
Addictions.
Right. Absolutely. And, you know, I think that the guilt and shame that I write about and the overwhelm, especially in a newly sober mom, it's just so much to process and bear. You know, it's enough to just stay sober, but to also feel those feelings. And a lot of moms, newly sober moms, try to overdo to kind of run away from that guilt.
The perfectionism.
To compensate.
Right, right, which can be worse.
Right. That's interesting that you said you started journaling and then that turned into the guide that you would have liked to have had yourself. I always think that journaling is sometimes a conversation that you're having with somebody, but maybe you don't want to have that conversation with someone. So you just write it on paper and that's your listener.
It's our inner voice. It's our inner wisdom. It's our knowing, like that book, Conversations with God. It's kind of like a spiritual experience to really journal. So how did you release guilt and shame?
Well, again, a lot of writing, a lot of therapy, a lot of working with a sponsor, you know, and it's a process. It didn't happen in one sitting. I mean, I've been sober for almost 16 years, and so there's just a different level of, and again, continually asking for help, learning to be good to myself and compassionate with myself and taking really good care of myself.
I think that's so important, even for people who are not struggling in recovery, to be kind to yourself. You know,
right.
To don't set such high standards that there is no way you could possibly meet those goals.
Right.
To be realistic about what you can do as a person, as a mother, as a wife.
Yeah. And again, as moms, whether you're a sober mom, a normie mom, or trying to get sober, or I just think society is telling us, you know, run faster, run harder, do more.
Well, you also had the added, pressure of being a single mother. I was a single mother, and talk about guilt. You know, you're always trying to make up for that missing parent. I always tell single parents, it only takes one great parent. I mean, you can't make up for that missing parent.
Sherry and I have talked about this so many times. The difference, I think you obviously, and you say you feel bad that you're a single parent, that you weren't there enough, you had a different type of life. But I think kids recognize that when something's good, and they don't always I think they compare probably more material items than the love that they get from their parent to the love that their friend gets from a parent. They don't expect it to be the same.
I agree. And I also agree with, I was just telling a newly sober mom today, and she was talking about all the guilt and shame. And I said, well, let's just say that for a year you were in your disease and you caused a lot of damage. So, and you've entered into sobriety, say, today, I promise you a year from now is going to make up like triple the amount of damage you did. So you just stay on this path. And, you know, my kids are all adults now, and the relationship that I've built with them and the closeness, and it's just, I think it's something I would have, even if I was a normal drinker, I don't think I would have that closeness with my children. I didn't know what that was, really.
And that's something you have to work for as a parent. I think anyone can be a parent and, you know, give your child what they need. But that closeness, I do think that's a special bond, a special relationship that does require work and something that you work at every day. Even if one day is a bad day, you can make the next day not a great day, but a good day.
I love what you said to that sober mom, because I always tell my clients, you know, you're going to be a different person a year from now. You're not going to be the same person. Whatever fears and insecurities you have right now, newly sober or not, in 6 months, a year, you're going to be a different person.
I love the quote, every saint has a past and every sinner has a future. Because I think it's so true. You can reinvent yourself and you don't have to carry those burdens every day forever.
Right, right. Yeah. And that's the best part about sobriety and, you know, asking other women that have gone ahead of you for help. Yeah, you let them carry the burden. You just put it right out there and ask for help so you don't have to shoulder it as much. You know, I think, again, as mothers, and especially mothers in recovery, we just have that, I've got to do it myself. We just don't even know how to ask for help.
So what's this idea where, you know, everybody talks about balance. What would you suggest to someone to help reduce their exhaustion?
Oh, yeah, and the tips in my book, it's things that seem so simple, but they work. You know, it's back to that halt. Hungry, angry, lonely, tired. If you just, again, as moms, often we're running around and haven't eaten all day. So to sit down and simply feed your brain some good protein, a lot of water, take a 20-minute nap, take a walk around the block, cross half of the to-do list off. You know, it's, I always tell my clients, again, what I often still need to tell myself is, would I want one of my kids running around like a crazy person doing all these things I'm trying to do? And I say, absolutely no.
And, you know, the tools are right there in the program. You know, people that do belong to the 12 steps or not. I mean, basically it's that one thing at a time. Like, make your list and just do whatever's on top of that list and you'll get to the next thing.
Absolutely. I have a friend who I've known a very long time, and she's been sober for years, many years, but she recently just had twins. And, you know, as being a parent, it's so hard. And then I could only imagine having twins. Not that it's hard, but it's so... It can run you ragged. You don't know what's coming the next minute. And she has twins and she's older. And so I have said to her, there are going to be days that you're going to think, I can't do this. But you know what? The next day will be better. And there's nothing really you have to do except be a mom.
That's what we say to someone who's getting sober. We just say, all you have to do is just stay sober. Sometimes that's enough. And I love
exactly.
that.
Just be a mom. Don't
just
I can
show
remember
up, really.
My son was 3 weeks old and I had a Pampered Chef party. Who in their right mind does that?
Oh, that's so you, Jennifer.
Totally. And I can remember him sitting there and he was in the carrier and I was talking to him and I'm arranging this food. And looking back, that was insane.
I'm laughing because you and I are a little different. when I was pregnant, was hiring babysitters. Like, how am I going to get out? To have some time to myself. Like, that was my priority, which, I mean, I still was a great mom and I showed up.
Of course, but who in their right mind has it for, like, a free fork?
That's
like,
really? That is the perfectionistic gene, Jennifer.
I know, it's crazy, but it is. It's so hard, and I think I can only imagine how much harder it would be if you have other baggage that you're carrying along with you.
Oh, yeah. It's, again, like one of you said, you know, we bring in all our old past and maybe lack of parenting skills or that what was modeled, and we can be clueless. Like, how do you even do homework with a kid? How do you even, you know, show up for them at school when you can't even show up for yourself?
And I think we would all agree that being a parent now, what you are expected to do for your children is so much greater than what our parents were expected to do for us.
Seems like you have to be more involved in the school.
I was just
going
to say, if you go to a school parking lot, when we were growing up, it was, you know, it had the teachers' cars in the parking lot, not too much. Now it is packed because parents are expected to volunteer to be.
Really?
I mean,
they are
essentially running portions of the school.
That's unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. And all the fundraising and then the sports, and you have to keep your kids in sports. And I'm just as guilty as everyone else, so I'm certainly not passing judgment. But the things that you are expected to do are unbelievable.
That would have taken me out. I mean, that's,
it's a lot to put on any one person.
Right. And that's what, you know, one of my chapters and the thing that I had to learn to say no. And I remember I was complaining to one of my mentors, everybody's asking me to do this, and my kids keep asking me. I keep saying yes, and, you know, I keep saying no. And then eventually I'm tired, so I say yes. And she said, okay, I want you to pin a huge sign on your refrigerator, and it says, no means no. And I said, that's perfect for my kids. And she said, oh, no, 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 that's for you.
It's so true.
So I think, you know, learning to say no. I was telling another newly sober client that I'm working with, and she was saying all this stuff she's doing in the classroom, and I said, you know, if they ask you to bring something, don't bring the cut-up fruit tray. Bring the napkins that you can just pick up. Well, you know, so simplify. You know, the birthday parties I used to put on, you know, simplify. These kids, again, what are the messages we're sending to our kids? That everybody has to, you know, have these elaborate parties.
Maybe you could explain, Rosemary, what you do as a recovery coach. I know that, you know, we have sponsors, we have recovery mm-hmm. coaches, we have sober coaches, we have, you know, I'm a licensed psychotherapist. So why would somebody need a recovery coach like yourself?
Well, you know, I was certified as a life coach many, many years ago when you learned a lot of traits, which many things that I did with, and I still do with other clients, is teach them how to have like a full life. Teach them to bring in what they want in their life and to get rid of what they don't. So I always tell my clients, yes, I look at your recovery plan. Are you doing it? But I'm not your sponsor. Where I try to take them is all that time you used in your drinking and using, let's put that into new things you want to do in your life. And I just help them walk those steps. So I say, you know, everything's possible, and I always want to check in, you know, what are they doing for the recovery? How's that going? Because if they can't do that, I can't help them do the other things. And then with a lot of moms, it's just those tiny little, like, communication skills. Like, they blew up at their husband. What are some ways I can, you know, I can give them some new language on how to appropriately communicate? There might be things like overwhelm. You know, again, there's all those tips that the super mom chapter in my book. You know, I believe like a sponsor is supposed to sit down, read the big book, walk a woman in sobriety through the big book. I don't believe that they're supposed to be going over finances with them, or they're supposed to take them through the steps.
I love that because it's really true. I mean, like, I've always had this question about, you know, where does the sponsor's role end? I mean, you know, sometimes they talk about in the recovery, you know, don't date for a year, don't go out for a year, and it's like the sponsor's giving the person direction. It's like, well, you know, I don't know, maybe you're not living in my shoes.
Right, you don't know what I enjoy or need.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts about that? Because sometimes sponsors really do give direction that's really way out of their role.
Expertise.
Here's what I think about it, and I get really irritated.
Good. We like irritation on this show. Yeah, this positive show.
You know, Bill and Bob, it's always worked exactly what they've done and suggested. So if I'm trying to water down the big book, you know, becomes my own version, and I believe in sticking right to the 12 steps. You sit down, you read the big book, you teach someone how to help somebody else.
And what would you say? And what would you say to someone who's, let's say, in the other program, not the, you know, not AA, but possibly the one that's in Al-Anon, the one that's the family member or mm-hmm, the spouse mm-hmm. or the parent? What would you mm-hmm. say to them?
Same thing. Go to Al-Anon, sit down, and have somebody else that's been through the steps with another sponsor and focus on their program. Yeah. Exact same thing. Letter of the law.
Rosemary, I have a question for you. I know with moms, there's lots of mom groups, and there's lots of mom's night outs and wine nights and all that. How hard is that for someone who's in recovery to participate?
That's bigger today, I think, than when I was.
I think
young.
So too. I think that's very popular.
Oh, yeah.
How does someone who's in recovery, you don't want to not be a joiner, but mm-hmm. then on the same hand, you don't want to do something that is going to put your own sobriety at risk. How do you manage that?
Yeah, and I remember that being very difficult. You know, I was in a bunco group years ago, uh-huh. basically with a woman, you know, drinking card game. And I went a few times because I did, you know, I didn't have the new friends in AA yet. I didn't know really how to have fun on my own. So I kept doing what I used to do.
That's a recipe for disaster.
It was a disaster. But eventually I started going there thinking, you know, I don't really like being here. And I really did put myself in some positions that weren't comfortable. I was always taught to, you know, take my own car and get out of there if I felt uncomfortable. But, you know, that's not an easy one. You know, it's like the letting go of what was to bring in what, you know, is there waiting. It's, you know, I just say if you're going to go, you call another woman in the program or your sponsor and say, I'm going to this. There's going to be alcohol. I'm going to call you right after it's over and let you know I didn't drink. And then a lot of times my clients will do that, and then we can process some of what went on for them.
So you're really like an accountability coach. You know, I have a question. This has been something I've been talking to some of my sisters in program is, what do you think about all the Facebook posting of events outside of the program? Like you're out there and you're in fellowship, you're going and having coffee after a meeting, everybody's taking pictures, but they're actually the people that that are in your program. Do you think that breaks anonymity?
Well, as long as it doesn't say, here's a group of my AA friends, or we're at an AA convention, I believe that people can give their own anonymity away, but not other people.
Very good.
Yeah, Facebook can be very dangerous.
Very tricky.
It's done more harm than good.
there's a lot of positives, but also I can see that there are a lot of things that aren't so great with Facebook and all the other different types of social
media. Well, it's a non-reality on some level. Like, I think for some people that I get a lot of people that say, I have, you know, I don't feel like I have enough friends, I don't have likes. I mean, listen, I've done that before. Like, I don't have enough posts that people are liking me. And
well,
it's like,
it's going to, like you said, Rosemary, about Supermom. I mean, you see these posts of,
they look so happy and perfect.
And I bet if you called these people that, we say, oh, I wish I could be like her because she's Supermom. I bet if we called that Supermom and asked her, you know, how do you do it? She would say, oh, I'm no Supermom. Somebody said to me one
time,
you always look like you have it so together. And I was like, oh gosh, that's such a falsehood, because my husband's dry cleaning's been in the car for a week and I'm not exactly sure what he's going to wear on Monday because I've been meaning to drop it off. Like, I think everyone, you can see someone from the outside and you think it's so perfect. But once you talk to that person, they're just like the rest of us trying to get through the day.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think that I know a lot of my journey is that when I came into the rooms, it was all about the outside. And I have to say, I had most of the outside stuff. And the only good news is none of that made me feel better. And my journey that I have found and that I walk a lot of women through are that inside journey about feeling good about yourself. It's nice to have the stuff, but it's not great when the stuff has you. And so, you know, it's an inside job that no matter where you go, you know, you can feel good about yourself. I hated myself before I got sober.
Rosemary, I'm sorry. We need to take a quick break. Can you stay with us for a little bit?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Yeah.
We love talking to you.
Sure, likewise.
We'll be right back after these messages.
Waking up to your aliveness is what Sherry Gaba teaches her clients in person, by phone, or through Skype. Sherry teaches you how to live a life filled with harmony, peace, joy, and purpose, with real tools to change anything in your life, whether it's a relationship, career, financial abundance, anxiety, depression, or any addiction, whether it's alcohol, food, even obsessive love, or the internet. Sherry is a licensed psychotherapist and a certified transformation and recovery coach. Call Sherry at 818-756-3338. Email her at sherry@sgabatherapy.com. And check out her website at www.sherrygaba.com.
I'm a lifelong Ventura County resident, and I hate to admit it, but I'm guilty of something, and I'm guilty of being what you call a hair jumper. And what that means is that I'm not really loyal to any one particular barber, stylist, or hair cutter, and that also means my hair doesn't always look as good or as great as it could. Until, that is, I met Kim Pagano, the one and only hair therapist of Westlake Village. Now, I wasn't a believer until I got up from her chair and saw the magic she did on this head of hair, and I know she's going to do the same for you. So give her a call, 818-612-0832. That's 818-612-0832. She's going to your life. She's going to change the life of your hair, and she's going to end your days as a hair jumper. Give Kim Pagano, the hair therapist of Westlake Village, a call. It's 818-612-0832.
It's showtime.
Now, back to the Kim Pagano Show on KVTA.
Welcome back, everyone. Rosemary, thank you so much for talking with us today. We've really enjoyed being with you and hearing your story. Where can our listeners find your book?
You can find the book at hazelden.org, and Hazelden is HAZELDEN.org, or they can find it on Amazon.com.
Okay, and that's a sober mom's guide to recovery. Rosemary, thank you so much for being on our show today. We'd love to have you on again. So if you'd like to do that, we'd love to hear from you.
Absolutely, anytime. And it was really fun speaking with you guys, and love what you're doing.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Bye-bye now. All right, everybody, before we go to our next guest, Sage Gallen, I wanted to remind everybody of some things coming up here in the 805, the Latino Business Expo on the 29th from 4 to 8 p.m. at the Ventura County Fairgrounds. That's a great event. You definitely want to head out there for that. The second annual Strides Against Breast Cancer event on Saturday, October 10th in Ventura. The Kim Pagano Show will be there. Make sure you stop by and say hi to all of us. You can meet Kim and myself, Jennifer, and we'll be there supporting a breast cancer event. And also the 12th annual Cal State University Channel Islands Alumni and Friends Dodger Day. That's a great event on Sunday, October 4th at 12 o'clock is the game and the buses head out. Go to their website to find out more information. I know you and your family will have a really good time. And the third annual Air Force Museum will be hosting the third annual Hope Haven Gala on October 10th. Definitely go to hopes-haven.org for more information. You will be able to donate money or you'll be able to attend, and it helps kids that are in Children's Hospital and other hospitals recovering from diseases and help them get an iPad to make their stay there more fun. And thank you for everyone who's listening. We're having a great show again this afternoon. And if you miss any of our shows, go ahead to our podcast and download The Kim Pagano Show. You can hear today's show as well as our shows from the past. And with that, we will go to Sage Gallen and hear from our next guest. Hi, Sage. How are you? This is Jennifer.
Jennifer, how are you? I'm absolutely amazing. Thank you for having me.
We're so glad to hear from you and to hear your story.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Where should we begin?
So tell us, how did you become a painter and a photographer?
Accidentally, honestly. What had happened was, I've always been artistic, creative as a child. Although I have siblings, I was raised as the only kid. And so I spent a lot of time on my own, to myself. So I drew a lot as a kid. I used to doodle and draw a lot. And as a matter of fact, that's how I would study in class. And as it progressed, my life, just started to shift. And what had happened was I was in a very bad place living in D.C., Washington, D.C., and a very dear friend of mine, one of my mentors, Walter Neal, took me to an art supply store and got me a lot of paint and canvas, watercolors, and dropped me off. And I did my first painting in about 30 minutes.
Sage, was that the first time you had all of the artist supplies that you needed?
That's the first time I knew there were things as art stores. I didn't know that.
I could imagine that was probably Christmas for someone your age to get all of that at one time.
It was. I was like in my early 20s, and I didn't know about painting. So, and it just took off from there. And
was this after you got sober or before?
No, it was before, actually. When I was living in D.C., I started using, I was a square kid. And I didn't start smoking cigarettes until I was in college. I didn't start drinking anything until, I went to college. And that was in 18, 19. And then by my 20s, my early 20s, when I moved to D.C., I just had a full-fledged addiction. And it was like Christmas for somebody to see past the dark of me and to take me to a art supply store and get all of this stuff, paintbrushes and paints and everything. So it was very much like a revelation. And the painting started from there.
So, Sage, you're talking about Sober Fun. So how did you find the brighter side of recovery? What brings you here today? What is it you want? What kind of message are you wanting to tell our listeners? We have a lot of family members that have addiction in their family. We have a lot of people still struggling and a lot of sober people in recovery. What is it you would like to bring to the show?
Well, the thing that I think is very important for a lot of people to understand, one, is that it's a disease. When I got sober the first time in 2002, there was something that was said to me that I didn't understand until I was able to hear it, and that was that my addiction was a disease of a threefold nature, that, based upon my spiritual malady, the sickness of my spirit, I drink and I use. Now, I come from parents who are both addicts as well, so the chemical imbalance there, the chemical reaction, it was something I could also understand. And then, of course, goes into the obsession of the mind. And when I was able to hear that for the first time, I was able to realize that there is a solution, that all of the darkness, from the homelessness to picking out of garbage cans to eat to doing just incredibly hard things to survive through my addiction, the attempts of suicide, and all of that darkness, that for the first time in my life, I realized that there was a solution that was active, viable. And then I sought that solution to heal the spirit, first of all, to go through steps that enabled me to become better.
Sage, certainly. Do you, now that you are living a sober life, do you use your painting and your photography as a way to calm yourself and express yourself?
Well, my art, be it through photography, my painting, or my poetry, all of my art is a form of a spirit, is meditation, is prayer to me. So, for instance, we just released my first music video, Growing Pains, from my CD, Naked Under My Clothes. And the process of that was very cathartic, to have written this script and to the production to the finished product. That was a way in which I pray and meditate. It's also a way in which I try to give back, is through my art, with my photography, to shoot people, to photograph people in situations which ordinarily go unseen, the people that we discard because they might be an addict. I have my first series we showed in New York 2 years ago called the Crack Series. And a large part of what I do artistically is trying to bring the humanity to people who are otherwise overlooked.
So you want us not to overlook the person who might still be struggling with their disease?
No, you can't overlook them. They're still a human. I remember vividly when I was in New York and homeless and I was dirty and... people would walk past me as though I didn't exist. And I think it is more of a disease to try to strip someone of their humanity. That's a disease as well. That's an illness as well. We're all important. And some people struggle. I struggled through my addiction. The other side of it is being sober and being a contributing member of my family, my society, my job. Everything. I'm not that person anymore. So,
Sage, what would you tell other people that are trying to get sober? What advice would you give to them?
It's possible. It's possible. And it's hard to hear sometimes that, because you're so enveloped in that darkness, But there is light there, and that you can get through this. You can get sober. You can change your life. Absolutely. I'm a prime example of that.
That's amazing, Sage. Yes. We love that. You know, I would love to hear about, you know, what's the greatest thing that happened to you since you began your sober journey. We're actually going to take a quick break. Will you stay with us?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
If you're a business owner or looking to be one, put Littlefoot Construction on the top of your list. Littlefoot Construction specializes in restaurant remodels, tenant improvements, office remodels. Call Littlefoot Construction with all your commercial and industrial needs. Littlefoot Construction works with big or small businesses. Or even if it's a dream, Littlefoot Construction will make your vision come true. Call Littlefoot Construction at 805-491-2759. That's 805-491-2759 for all your construction needs. Have you ever thought about long-term care? MKN Financial Group provides long-term care planning and insurance that can be custom designed to cover expenses as you grow older. Long-term care can take place in the comfort of your own home, in adult daycare centers, and at assisted living or skilled facilities. With so many options to choose, Marcy Nunn can help you design a plan that is tailored for you. Call her today at 805-644-3535. That's 805-644-3535.
It's showtime.
Now, back to the Kim Pagano Show on KVTA.
Welcome back, everybody. We're talking to Sage Gallen, the painter, photographer, and spoken word artist. Before we took our quick break, Sage, you were going to tell us how you've been inspired to work through your art and to become sober.
And your greatest joy in sobriety.
There are so many, to think about all of the joys of sobriety. From the basic elements of being able to look myself in the mirror and not be ashamed or disgusted, to be able to be, like I said, not have to lie at my job, or, you know, the relationship that I'm building with my mom and my family, my nephews, nieces, my daughter, all of the relationships that get to get healed as a result of sobriety. Professionally, amazing things have occurred, from being named as one of the 40 artists watching the Griot, to interviews, to shows in New York, to shows in Los Angeles. I have a show in LA now called the Tones and Transitions that was just extended to the end of the month of October. None of this, we just had a show in New York, my Rocks and Hard Places series. We released my spoken word CD, Naked Under My Clothes, the videos and everything. And none of this I would be present for if it weren't for sobriety. I would not be able to do any of this. I would not be able to dream if I weren't sober.
Well, Sage, it sounds like sobriety has put you in a place where you're proud of who you are and what you're able to accomplish in your life today.
Very much so.
Sage, where can we find out more about you?
Well, you can always go to my website, sagegallon.com. That's sagegallon.com. You can follow me on Facebook. I'm very active on my social media. Facebook is Sage Gallen. Instagram, at Sage Gallen. Twitter is at Saga1, S-A-G-A-1. But I'm very active. I read all my comments. I read all my inboxes, everything. So I would like to interact with people who are watching.
Well, thank you so much, Sage, for being on the show.
And for your inspiration to all of us.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And we wish you great things in the future.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I'm so happy to be here with you. Have a great afternoon.
You too.
Thank you. And for those of you who are just joining us, we wanted to remind you that you can keep in touch with the Kim Pagano Show on our Facebook page, as well as download our podcast and download the Kim Pagano Show. You can hear all of our past shows as well as the show today. And don't forget to register for our newsletter. It's a great way to connect with the Kim Pagano Show. Kim and I both blog and as well as a calendar of everything that's going on in the 805. And we have some great prizes to give away. And we know exactly what's going on and events that are coming up. And with that, why don't we go ahead and give away some tickets to the Westlake Village Twin presents Laugh Out Loud Comedy Night. I think we could laugh after all of this. That's on October 7th. That's a great night, and I love the Westlake Village Twin. It's a really great theater, and Laugh Out Loud Comedy Night is always really funny. So give us a call, and you might be the winner. Before we go on the rest of the show, I wanted to remind everybody that we will be out in Ventura at the Strides for Cancer. That's going to be coming up on October 10th. October is a very, very big month here in the 805, as well as the Latino Business Expo will be on the 29th from 4 to 8 p.m. at the Ventura County Fairgrounds. And the third annual Hope Haven Gala is on October 10th, again, at 6:30 at the Air Force Museum. And we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Do you know someone suffering from addiction? Call 866-547-6451 or visit us on the web at SoberMalibu.com today. Sober Recovery Center is the only Joint Commission accredited addiction treatment center in Malibu. At the Sober Recovery Center, we treat the underlying psychological disorders and the symptoms of addiction. We live by the creed that one size does not fit all. The bottom line is we provide treatment that works for you or your loved one. Call 866-547-6451 or visit SoberMalibu.com for immediate help for any drug or alcohol problem. Our expert team is committed to helping develop a customized program to ensure your recovery experience is life-changing. The SRC program is the only affordable program to offer such a high quality of care with so many therapies from renowned therapists. Our therapists and doctors will assist you by providing the necessary tools to manage your life and address the issues that have plagued you. Counselors are ready to help you and your loved ones 24 hours a day. That's 866-547-6451 or visit SoberMalibu.com today. Help is just a call away at 866-547-6451.
Now back to the Kim Pagano Show.
Finally on KVTA.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Kim Pagano Show. I'm Jennifer, and we're here with Sherry and Tom. How's everybody doing?
Everybody is fantastic.
Terrific.
Doing great over here.
Very good. You know, we've had some great people on the show today. We had our 6 to 8 hour. And then also right now, we just spoke with Rosemary O'Connor, a Sober Mom's Guide to Recovery, as well as Sage Gallen, an artist who's gone through told us his story of recovery. Sherry, there's so many different things that people talk about when they're recovering. And I know that you are a life coach. And what would you tell people that are struggling, that have maybe already gotten sober, but really need something to keep them going?
Well, what was exciting about the last guest, and really, I think people really need to, they underestimate just how someone getting sober does have difficulty at first finding joy. And here's a guy that's painting and doing photography. I mean, what we need is to have a reason. We have a calling. We all have, our purpose. What is your purpose, Jennifer? You're a mom. You're a radio host. I'm a radio host. I facilitate an online summit. I'm a media expert. I'm an author, therapist. We all have a purpose. And so it's so important that people replace what it is in their life that is missing for something that is purposeful.
That makes so much sense, because I would imagine that when you have an addiction, it overtakes your entire life. It overtakes your entire well-being. And when you remove that, you sort of are like flopping in the wind, trying to see who you are and where you are in life and where you're going.
Well, I found it interesting, the first guest, Rosemary, talking about the differences between a sober coach, recovery coach, therapist. I think people might actually benefit knowing the difference. I mean, a therapist is someone who is a licensed therapist helping you look at family of origin issues. But when we talk about purpose and passion that you and I are discussing, that's where a sober coach can be really helpful. That's where a life coach, a sober coach can kind of walk you through what is it you want to do with your life, what's going to bring you passion.
I was going to ask you, would a sober coach sort of like help you make a roadmap for your life?
Well, there's kind of different titles. They're usually called a recovery coach or a life coach. I think some could call themselves a sober coach, but there's also sober coach or sober companion. That's someone that lives with someone who's just getting out of treatment or just getting sober. Let's say it's a celebrity and they need to go on the road and they need to stay sober. So this sober quote companion is going to stay with them 24/7. A recovery coach, or again, the word sober coach overlaps, is someone that's going to help them have accountability. And because they lack the life skills. When someone first gets sober,
so
they don't have the skill set. So it's like, well, how do I have fun? Or, you know, I remember the SOBA, who I am affiliated with, who sponsors this show. I remember, you know, when I first met the owner, you know, he had his own difficulty being social at first, he used to say. It took him a while to actually become a person and be a social human being because you've had this, you know, these drugs and alcohol in your life.
Oh,
in your
I
system.
Could. I would think the social aspect, once you are in recovery, the social part of your life would be the hardest because you no longer have that courage to sort of come out of your shell that you might get from having a drink before you go or
exactly.
once you get there. And when she mentioned the struggle with going to the women's group Bunko or, you know, the drinking, and it's the same thing, I think, if you're on a diet. Many of us can relate to this. When you go to like these women's groups or your book club or this club or that club, it's always around food and drink. So if you're really trying to stick to your diet, I will say to myself, okay, I'm going to go 20 minutes later because I don't want to eat when I get there, and I probably won't eat if nobody else is eating.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
But that's only food. So if you change your mind and eat it, it doesn't have the same repercussions of somebody who's been sober and slips and has a drink.
It's very different. It's completely,
completely
different.
Completely
different. You have
different.
To still eat, but when you're sober,
absolutely.
You're getting abstinent.
And that
you know,
has to be so hard because it's so hard. Society, so much of our life is around food and drink that it's hard to avoid it.
Well, that's when you start learning about a healthy lifestyle. Like,
exactly.
What does that look like? And that's where, I guess a recovery coach could really come in handy. I wanted to remind everybody, this is Recovery Month, and it's a really big a month for, in Washington, on October 4th, it's called Unite to Face Addiction, and there's going to be 23 million Americans that are in recovery that are going to be marching, you know, to support each other, sort of beyond the beyond treatment centers, beyond just people, just sober people that are going to be marching to you know, sort of eradicate the stigma around addiction and help people understand. I mean, it's almost like, I mean, I just can't believe 23 million.
Well, addiction hits so many people. There are so many people struggling with addiction.
And the families. The families.
Exactly.
You can't
and
forget
the families.
I mean, that's what I'm hoping that we're doing here on the Brighter Side of Recovery is really helping the families because there isn't the same support for families as there is for those in recovery. Those in recovery can just go to treatment.
Absolutely.
There are very few family recovery treatment centers. There's some people that work in that field. I know of only one place that really specialize, maybe two, that really specialize in family recovery. I mean, you can go to recovery, you can go to a rehab, and you can get therapy, but there's very few family programs specifically for the family members.
For everyone that is within the household of this person who's struggling, because I do think it's not just the person's disease, it's everyone around
it's
them.
It's called a family disease.
And I hate, and I could be wrong, Sherry, when I say this, but sometimes the person who's causing, not causing the trouble, but having the problems, the effects of it are more felt by the people around because their life is in complete chaos because of this individual. And they haven't really done anything to cause all this, so they don't know even how to deal with
it. It's a tornado. I mean, they're basically, their life is crazy. There's chaos all around them, and then the addict is like, "Bye," and you're just kind of standing there. I mean, I have personal experience from this. I mean, they're going back and forth and all the way around, and you're doing somersaults around them, and I mean, it's really insane.
But that's like even regular people, you know, those people who always cause all this chaos and drama, and they're the first ones to say, "Oh, I don't like drama." No, that's because everyone around you is having to deal with it. You cause it and then keep walking and everyone else has
However,
to deal with
it. However,
if
you're an untreated person, when I say untreated, you don't have a program in your life, you haven't worked on yourself, you are part of the problem. You actually are maybe attracted to trauma. A lot of people that are married to alcoholics came from an alcoholic home. That's all they know is trauma. And so they marry it.
Because
and
it's
that's
familiar
what they're used to.
Them?
It's familiar. So, you know, there is a part they play. It isn't like they're innocent.
Oh,
I mean,
absolutely.
They made choices. And, you know, I mean, that's part of what happened to me. I mean, I woke up one day and went, "Oh, my God, what am I doing? I'm on this roller coaster ride. What is it that I'm not comfortable looking at that I've allowed myself to stay on this ride for so long?" Now, a parent almost can't get off the ride, but they can certainly have boundaries. I mean, even Rosemary Book could be a great book for somebody that has a family member, because it's all about finding balance and having peace in your own life, even if the addict or alcoholic is still using.
Thankfully, my children are not at an age where hopefully we will never have this problem, but they're not at an age where it's something I have to think about quite so much, because they're still very young. But that would be very hard as a parent. The right thing is to cut them off and let them reach their bottom, but you are still their parent, and you don't, you know, you
hate.
That's
like what you're saying about the eating disorder thing. It's like you still have to eat, you still have to be their parent.
Exactly.
I mean, you know, like people would say to me when I was still kind of actively in my, quote, disease, trying to help the alcoholic, they say, why are you doing this? It's not your son. I mean, what is wrong with you? I mean, if it was your child, I could understand, but you know, you're right. When it's a child, it's very hard to let go. And I see parents let go and it's unbelievable to me how they let go. I mean, they have a real program in their life. They work with a sponsor. They go to meetings.
Because at the end of the day, those kids are going to make those decisions, whether you are there begging them not to do it or not.
It comes back to, we are powerless over other mm-hmm. people's actions. We only have power over the actions that we take and the choices that we make.
That is so meaningful in so many different parts of our life.
You're right, everything.
Jennifer. It's not just sobriety. That's the thing I find so fascinating about this hour of The Brighter Side, is that I myself am not struggling with addiction or recovering from addiction or in a sober program. But you hear all of these little things, these little, if you will, tips from people. And, you know, they can be applied to any part of your life, because we're all trying to become something better.
Well, that's what it is. When you look at the 12 steps, the only step that talks about alcohol or drugs is the first step. The other steps is how to live life.
Absolutely. Well, this has been a great show, and I'm glad everyone is able to tune in with us to The Brighter Side of the 805. And we always want you to remember to listen, learn, and laugh. And if you missed any of this show, you can download our podcast and go to The Kim Pagano Show. And also, don't forget to get our newsletter, and it has all of our information on there as well. And I would like to end our show with a moment of happiness. Don't let your struggle become your identity. And with that, have a great weekend, everybody, and we will see you next week.